Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. On August 17th, 2015, the S&P 500 index was slightly above 2100. Then just 1 week later, by August 25th, the index had dropped like a stone, down 11% to 1867. It's been very volatile since then. For example, on October 2nd, the Dow was down 250 points, but by the end of the day, stocks reversed earlier losses and then ended up the day 200 points, an intraday move of a whopping 450 points on the Dow, and then it rallied another 300 points on Monday. This turmoil has racked financial markets for the last 2 months and has stoked fears that the six-year-long bull run may be coming to an end, and with it, hopes for a continuing economic recovery. And for tens of millions of Americans who own stocks and retirement savings plans, the prospect of suffering through a horrendous market decline like the 2008-09 plunge is chilling. Retirees in particular may rightly figure that they don't have time to endure another round of deep paper losses, and they don't have the luxury of waiting for a rebound. For businesses, a severe slump in share prices could sap confidence and corporate spending. Yet, as Tom Petruno of the Los Angeles Times points out, many Wall Street pros warn against jumping the gun because while major stock indices are down about 9% from their peaks, the drops are far short of the minimum 20% drop that would be considered a new bear market, and just a sliver of the 57% crash of 2008 and 2009. Even so, the simple nest egg advice that has worked well for 6 years, which is just leave it alone, may not suffice for some investors. The forces weighing on stocks, including global economic fears and weak corporate earnings, really haven't diminished. So this is a good time for a financial reality check to prepare yourself for whatever the markets bring. So, first, realize that you do have time to act. If this is a bear market, it's early. Many individual stocks in industries like biotech and energy and heavy machinery have fallen more than 20% from their 2015 highs, but that's been offset by much more modest losses in sectors such as utilities and home builders and food and defense and technology. Not that you should be playing these sectors, but it's good to know what's going on. As a result, most well-diversified portfolios haven't yet given up much on average. The typical mutual fund that owns a mix of U.S. large company stocks was down about 7% in the third quarter, but is down really only about 2% year-to-date. So that's far from doom and gloom, especially after the spectacular gains of about 70% or so over the past 5 years on the S&P 500. So most of the gains investors made in U.S. stocks since 2009 are really still intact. Now, bonds are also providing a buffer. Millions of people invest in via so-called target date retirement funds in their 401ks and other savings plans. These target date funds typically hold a mix of stocks and high-quality bonds. This year, many of those bonds have generated modestly positive returns that have helped to offset the fund's stock losses. So, as an example, the average target date fund, let's say designed for someone expecting to retire between 2026 and 2030, is off 4.6% year-to-date, which is a bummer, but it's surely not crippling. And for investors who want to keep things simple, the old 60-40 mix of stocks and bonds could serve you pretty well. Also, you know, moreover, not every scary stock market sell-off becomes a bear market. In fact, most don't. Since the bull market began in March of 2009, there have been 7 declines of 7% or more in the S&P 500, excluding this current slide. But only the sell-off in 2011 came close to the bear market threshold when the index dropped 19.4% before quickly rebounding. Yet the drumbeat for a bear market appears to be getting louder day by day. One popular argument for a new bear market is simply that the current bull market is so old. At 78 months, we've now had the third longest bull run since 1930. That's pretty incredible stuff. But you know what they say, bull markets don't die of old age alone. Instead, it takes fundamental problems such as soaring interest rates, runaway inflation, or severe economic weakness to kill off bull markets, and we don't see any of that right now. Also, as many of you know, most important U.S. economic indicators are still pointing to growth. Consumer spending rose in August, car sales soared in September, and the economy is still creating jobs. But there is an uptick in bad news, too. Fewer jobs were created in September. Corporate profits do appear to be moderating after solid earnings growth over the past 5 years, which of course could reduce earnings and drive stock declines. One major drag on profits is the plunge in the energy sector because those earnings have been weak, caused by a collapse of oil prices. But prices have also weakened for companies in other industries, and by the way, last week, the price of oil did rebound. The struggling global economy is also depressing profits. Europe and many developing economies have been stuck in low gear or worse, and that has led to the devaluation of foreign currencies against the dollar, which has led to tougher competition for U.S. exporters, which has been squeezing their earnings. What's more, these devalued foreign currencies have hurt sales and profits of U.S. firms that they generate abroad, so that's been another drag on the bottom line. Also, U.S. stocks really aren't cheap by classic measures. They're not really well overpriced, but they're not really cheap. So it's possible that if earnings do decline, we could see some reduction in prices because the P/E ratio will decline. And it's only a matter of time before the Fed starts raising interest rates, though of late that prospect has been delayed, and at this very moment it looks like it's not going to happen anytime soon. However, when it does happen, the prospect of falling corporate profits and rising interest rates would generally not be good for stocks. Now, no one has a crystal ball, but you can adopt a game plan to protect yourself. The decision on whether to cut back on stocks in your portfolio should depend on when you'll need those assets. For younger people, bear markets are a gift. Let me repeat that. Bear markets are a gift to young people because it allows them to buy low. But people who are nearing retirement and plan to tap their nest eggs sometime over the next 5 years or so will need to focus more on capital preservation. They need to concentrate on having enough cash and other liquid assets to handle living expenses during a 3 to 5 down year stock market, if that should happen. And younger investors may also want to increase their cash levels a little bit to buy if the markets go lower, because it's most likely that there'll be some great investment opportunities in the next 3 to 5 years. But most importantly, whatever decisions you make about your portfolio should be part of a plan. Think not just about getting out of an investment, but at what point you'd get back in or into something else. Your plan doesn't have to be fancy, you just need to have it thought through. And if investing isn't your thing, find an experienced, honest investment advisor to help you. It's worth every dollar you will pay.
You're listening to On the Money with Certified Financial Planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.